Welcome to the podcast of Fellowship Church in Dallas, Pennsylvania. To find out more about Fellowship Church, visit fellowshipefc.org.
And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, when your children ask you in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over the Jordan. The waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever." Welcome back to the Fellowship Church podcast. I'm Jake.
And I'm Chris.
And we are here.
We're here. This location right now.
And we're awkward.
We're super duper awkward. How was your week? Long? Cold?
Yeah. It was a week, you know.
I feel like every week our discussion is the same when we have this podcast. It's the same, we always talk about how cold it is.
Yeah, it's just the winter in Northeast PA. We should be used to it, you know.
But we're not. But, just get like more unused to it cold. Every year.
But there's a silver lining, right? We see, I saw like 60 degrees on the forecast for the week. Hopefully that stays, because you never know. It always can just, never mind.
Take a flip. Yeah. Here's 2 feet of snow. So More likely what's going to happen. But there is some buzz on the trees I've seen lately, so I'm pretty... That's like a sign of, you know,
spring is springing.
Yeah. So what are we talking about today?
Well, we have an episode that you cannot refuse. We have the Godfather of the Fellowship Church. Pastor Dwight Hodney.
Hello.
Welcome to the show.
Yes.
Thank you. It's good to be here with you guys.
Well, we are really excited to have you on. We want to talk about, as we go through our series, Where Stands It Written, study through the EFCA's Statement of Faith. We want to know more about the EFCA, and we wanted the church to be more, have a better knowledge and a better grasp of where we come from. What is the EFCA, and a little bit of our church history and our mission and all that. And we don't really know anybody better to talk about this than you. So, because you're like been around since the beginning, right?
Yeah. Not the beginning of the Evangelical Free Church, but you know,
pretty close.
Yeah, but I've been around a lot, though. Yeah, I mean, in fact, I was born in Boston, and I went to the Evangelical Free Church of Boston, which was the mother church of the Norwegian Danish Synod. And the other one was out in Washington.
Oh, wow.
So that's when they got together. And that was... So I grew up in that Norwegian background.
Wow. There we go.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, Dwight, can you talk about the origin of the EFCA with us? Maybe how did it start? Maybe some of the key moments through history of the EFCA?
Yeah, it's rather fascinating. I think if you go back... It actually goes back to the Scandinavian countries of Norway and Sweden and Denmark, back in the days when they had a state church, and they still do, for that matter. But there were some people within that church that were saying, you know, it's kind of like a marriage between the state and the church, which isn't working out really well, because everybody who was born a Norwegian or a Swede was considered to be a member of the church, and their birth records were kept in the church.
Oh, wow.
So that, you know, and then they were baptized as babies, and so assumed that when they grew up, hey, everything is fine. You know, don't have to make any personal decision to receive Jesus Christ, because I kind of had it done to me.
Wow, okay.
Was this Roman Catholic or another?
It was Lutheran.
Oh, Lutheran State Church. Wow.
Yeah, it's a Lutheran State Church. And so... there was a group then that broke away from that and started what they called the Bedhusa, which is a prayer meeting on Sunday afternoons.
Okay.
And it was a kind of like a spiritual movement then, almost like a revival that was taking place. And that became, that was the beginnings of the free church, which is what free originally stood for, was free from state. Today it means free, each church independent,
autonomy,
independently governed. Yeah. But back then it was free from state rule. And so there was a little bit of persecution there. Hey, what do you mean breaking away from, you know, your roots? And but then they came over here. That was back in now about 1884.
Wow.
Is when groups came from these Scandinavian countries and came over to America and looking for fellowship. And so there was a group out in Washington and a group in Boston, the group in Boone, Iowa. They're, you know, different parts, like both coasts in the middle. The Swedish ones were mostly in the middle, and the Norwegian, Danish ones were on the East Coast and West Coast.
Oh, wow.
And so they developed these churches, and then a breakthrough in 1950. The Norwegian-Danish Synod, they called it back then, got together with the Swedish Synod and said, hey, you know, we've been kind of, with a little bit of racism going on here, you know, we're better than you, you're better than us now, because it was wars back in the old days. They decided, no, let's break all that. We're Christians. We, you know, in one, we are one family in Jesus Christ. There is Amen. Neither Norwegian nor Swedish. You know, it's there's Jew or Gentile, we're slave or free, male or female. All are one in Christ.
Amen.
So in 1950, they merged, and they became the Evangelical Free Church of America. And that was the that's where it's been going ever since. They developed a doctrinal statement that was broad enough to incorporate, you know, people from outside of a particular denomination. They did not take a stand on infant baptism or believer's baptism at that point, because there were Lutherans coming in who were baptized as babies and they didn't want to be rebaptized, didn't mm-hmm. have that understanding. And so that's kind of been never made an issue, you know.
Wow.
although in our church, and this is our independence as churches, we can make up our own decision on that. So we here at Fellowship, you know, do believer's baptism.
Right.
And so, and I was baptized as a baby, and then I was baptized as a believer later on. I made that conscientious step, you know, to give Jesus glory for what he had done in my life since I accepted Jesus Christ when I was 10 years old. So
cool.
Yeah.
That's really
interesting. So that's really the background of it.
Cool. So it sounds like you're talking about that Norwegian Swedish racism you talk about. It sounds like it's really applicable for our day today.
Yeah.
And showing how we can overcome racism and prejudice today, because we look at how we've already done that.
Yeah.
I mean, how many years? I mean, I feel like you might have more of an understanding of Norwegian-Swedish battles. And how long do you think maybe that tension lasts throughout the centuries?
Oh, I can't tell you when the war was between Sweden and Norway, but it goes way, way back, you know, hundreds of years maybe. I know that Norwegian Independence Day is like, you know, it's still celebrated.
Right.
It's like our Independence Day in America.
So you know? Freedom from Sweden?
Freedom from Sweden. Yeah.
Wow.
Sweden was in control, and Norway asserted their independence. You know? But, you know, that's where the animosity and levels of superiority and supremacy come from.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ worked in the hearts of these Christians who had kind of found Christ, you know, in the middle of religiosity.
Yeah.
You know, religion was all around them because it was a state thing, but there was no personal relationship with Jesus until this movement, this revival began. And then along with that revival came, hey, let's get rid of this racism.
Yeah.
And in 1950, you know, it was formed.
That's awesome. And so we can think about this, like, not rushing to application, right? But, like, looking back at our history already, we can see today that racism isn't going to be solved by legislation, and
right.
which we want to see good, just legislation. But really, it's only going to be through the gospel of Jesus Christ.
It goes deeper. He has to deal with pride.
Right.
He has to deal with envy.
Right.
The basic sins that I think cause racism.
Yeah. Policies don't change sinful hearts.
No.
Only gospel.
No.
So when they broke away and formed, you said it wasn't the EFCA yet up until what, 1950? But who do you think, like, is there any history on maybe who they were inspired by to do this sort of thing? Like, were they, maybe they read some of, like, reformers, like maybe Martin Luther or something of that nature?
Well, Martin Luther, you know, it was the Lutheran Church.
Right.
I mean, Martin Luther, I don't believe had any thought that it was going to, you know, cause the trouble that it did, forming a state church. I mean, the Presbyterians did the same thing in other countries. You know, they formed state churches. And the Roman Catholic, of course, formed state churches too. It's just that, you know, where there's a King David, there has to be a Prophet Nathan.
It's good.
See, and if they melt together and get married, then there's problems. One always has to be accountable to the other. And that wasn't happening. You know, it was all religion and not a personal relationship with Jesus.
Kind of more like a dry doctrine, routine sort of thing.
And yeah, then, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Was there any like specific church mottos maybe that shaped the EFCA, maybe in its beginning or over the past however many years?
Yeah, well, I think we're close to Baptists. In that sense, you know, where there's a denominational affiliation, they call it a denomination. The Evangelical Free Church likes to call it an association.
Mm.
Say, there again, you know, to drive home the idea that it's each church is independently governed, calls its own pastor, makes those kinds of decisions on budgets and whatever.
Right.
So. I think they just draw from maybe an independent church in some regards and then to the Baptist close doctrine line.
Gotcha.
To where we are. Baptism, the Baptists, though, say you got to be baptized in order to join our church, you know, the Free Church. Again, say you didn't want to step that far and say you have to be baptized into our church in order to be a member.
Right.
We want you to be baptized.
Yeah.
Well, actually, Jesus wants us to be baptized.
Right. Command us.
When we accept him. But that's something that a conscience, you know, has to determine, you know. So okay.
This kind of sounds like it just always leads into the famous saying, major in the majors and minoring in the minors.
Absolutely. That's probably the mantra that we picked up.
Yeah.
You know, is that, let's not divide on all these little issues that, where you can find arguments in the scriptures on both sides where you don't have a clear understanding of the interpretation of the Bible.
Mm.
You're going to develop differences. But let's not let that divide us. What are the watershed issues? Where don't we compromise?
Yeah.
And that would be the authority of the Bible. And you can go down our list, you know, of the doctrinal statement. You know, the authority of the Bible, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, is what makes you a member of his universal family, the church. And then you can join a local church and keep growing as a Christian. So that's basically the thing that drives us. And I think it drove this church when we first started. When I say this church, fellowship here in Dallas. We were looking for... there was kind of like a gap going on in this Wyoming area. There was liberal churches over here that weren't preaching the gospel. There were very far right
fundamental Baptist
third
churches.
Separationist type people that wouldn't associate with you if you associated with you if you associated with you.
Mm.
And there was very kind of a divisive spirit. We thought there is a place here in, you know, the Wyoming Valley, Back Mountain area for a church that doesn't split like this into tribes, you know, but really preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ and some key issues that can't be compromised. So, you know, opinions we can discuss and do. You know, we can have a class and have people who are Presbyterians, Lutherans, and all in the same class, but we're looking at the Bible. This is our authority.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. So where is it written? Let's discuss that.
I love that.
Yeah.
Because like Chris and I, we talk about all the minors, you know, not on the air. We love discussing those things, you know.
Oh, can we record those too?
Yeah, we could, but
I don't know if it would be published. It might just be like for us to go back and listen to and think first about how dumb we sounded when we were saying something.
So, but we don't we can disagree on those, but we don't divide over them, right? No. So that's what I think I love so much about the EFCA is how how much we can join up hand in hand with others in the gospel.
Yeah.
Because it sounds like, I mean, you can have one church that's like completely Baptist and then another church that's Presbyterian, like, and well, except for church government, obviously, you know.
Yeah.
But it's really cool that we can unite in that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So another one that, another like motto, like that major in the majors, minor in the minors. Another one that we've taken to is Where Stands It Written, that we've based our podcast series on. And it seems that that's also the phrase that kind of forged and brought out this revival in the Scandinavian. Would you say that's true?
Yes. Yeah. They got back to the Bible.
Yeah.
Instead of the catechism, you know, which you're fine. I mean, it's all right. Even some free churches today have Bible instruction class. And that was interesting because one of my churches in Dix Hills, Long Island, a lot of Norwegians were in that church. And we kind of played down the fact that this is some sort of catechism class. And so we call it Bible instruction class. We take 7th and 8th graders and we, you know, meet with them once a week and we go over clear biblical teachings.
Right.
So that they can, and then we have a graduation type of thing. And, you know, but one of the Norwegians, when we were dismissed, said, you know, he used the Lutheran term for, you know, these converts or whatever it is, you know, and he yelled it out and said, everybody back off, back off. And so I said, nah, this is just Bible instruction class. That's what we're calling it. So you can see there's still confirmation.
Right.
They use that term. Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Confirmation means your baptism as an infant is confirmed when you learn the teachings. But that's not what Bible instruction class was.
Right.
So it got a little mixed up there too, and we had to kind of keep that straight. And so there's always that tension that goes on.
Yeah. Like I catechize my kids at home.
Yeah.
We go through a catechism booklet. But we understand, and this the whole series we're doing is all on how even the EFCA statement of faith is an extra biblical document that is used that stands on the Word of God.
Right.
And these catechism questions, they stand on the Word of God.
On the Word of God.
So we're not teaching, well, the catechism says this. We're teaching the Bible says this, and we're summarizing it with what the catechism says. And so it's when you exalt, right, that catechism as the authority.
Yes.
Rather than...
Or when you give too much authority to an organization of local churches to determine whether you're in or you're out.
Right.
That's when it gets a little hairy, you know?
Yeah.
A little difficult. So we try to stay away from that. Yeah. Just stay on the Word.
And so it seems like, too, like it's kind of our own mini Reformation, right? Like getting back to what the Bible says.
Yeah.
Getting back to sola scriptura.
Yeah.
Right? And who's the authority? Is it God's Word or is it the state, church?
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
Which is kind of ironic that it's a Lutheran church that you're...
That was having a problem.
That we...
yeah,
stemmed off of.
That's history. That's what happens. Yeah. You know, first, second, third, fourth generation comes along and things start to change, and you begin to depend on what your parents said is true.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I believe too. You know, and then it goes on to the next generation, and each one falls further and further away from the truth, and depends upon something else other than the Word of God. So let's keep the Bible right here in front of us. I remember my first youth group, and I just talking with one of the guys who's not about 60 years old. You know, when I led him to Christ, he said, the thing that I would ask my questions to you about this thing called being a Christian, and you would always say, well, let's see what the Bible says.
Yeah.
And he always remembered that. You never gave me an answer from what you thought. You were always saying, let's just go to the Bible and find out what it says. That's the way it should be.
Yeah. I agree. That's a good way to just avoid so many problems.
I was just thinking,
so many problems.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying that's exactly what I was thinking.
I was going to say, like, just every problem, like church, you know, discipline problems, personal problems, anything. Like,
yeah.
Just going repeatedly back to the Word and repeatedly back to the Word, and not relying on, like, past tradition or, like, hearsay or something you heard way back in the day that you just subconsciously made the truth in your mind. You know, it's all to be weighed against the Scriptures. So.
Yeah. And, of course, Scripture doesn't speak to every little issue in life.
Right.
That requires wisdom.
Amen.
You know, which is the application of the Word to a situation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you can disagree and agree to disagree.
Right.
You know, and still come out friends. I mean, when I disagree with somebody, I don't hate them.
No.
But in our culture today, that seems to be the conclusion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, if you disagree with me, you hate me. No,
yeah.
No. I disagree with you. But I love you because Jesus loves you.
Yeah. And I told a guy at work that I'm not saying this because I hate you. I'm actually saying because I love you.
I know.
So it looks like it because I disagree with you and I'm telling you what you're saying is wrong.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You're in danger. But
and maybe we have to be careful of our manner.
Right.
We say I disagree with
you. Yes. And gentleness.
And gentleness. Yeah. Yeah.
Yelling at them really loud.
Yeah. Yelling at them.
That doesn't work.
Only with our kids? No.
Yeah. About it. How has the EFCA dealt with past political movements? For an example, maybe like a civil rights movement, and or gospel hijackers. Jake came up with that term, gospel hijackers.
Yeah, just people take the gospel and twist it what they want, right?
Yeah.
Is there any maybe like moments that you can remember in the history, maybe recent history or past history that where that happened, where we had to kind of weave our way through some sort of crazy political movement or something of that nature?
Well, the method by which they deal with it is called the annual conference. And so that's usually meets in different parts of the country somewhere in June. And all of the evangelical free churches send their delegates to this. And so decisions are made on a national basis. But in that conference, they deal with, the issues that are going on in our society. And we make a statement, which is written up by leadership, and it's presented to the conference and voted upon. And then it goes into our files, it goes into our publications, it goes into everything, so that they'll make statements on some of the issues that are going on in our society. You know, like family issues, especially recently, you know, marriage, biblical definitions of marriage, homosexuality, and some of those issues that are going on.
Yeah.
So they'll make statements like that and agree on that. Together as representatives. It's the best way to deal with it, I guess.
Has there ever been a time when there was maybe a more disagreement on something throughout the years, or has there been just for the most part?
Well, I think most recently it was a doctrinal position on the second coming of Jesus, which everybody agrees on, but is there a millennial period, 1,000 years between, you know, his coming and the final apocalypse, so to speak. So historically, you know, we were premillennial, they call it. That is a literal 1,000-year reign of Jesus after he returns. And then the devil gets released out of the prison and, you know, and starts a war, and then it's all over. Well, there were some people coming out of a background of Presbyterian-type background that said there's no millennial period. Can I still join the church? I mean, I'm a believer. I love Jesus. He's my Savior and my Lord. Well, you can't really join the church. Oh, no, wait a minute. Doesn't your statement say believers only, but all believers?
Yeah.
Yeah, but, well, then there's some discrepancy here. So we have big issues going on about that.
Yeah.
Decided to take out the premillennial part of it and say glorious return of Jesus Christ in our statement of faith. And that's something that everybody can agree upon.
Yeah. No, I think that's great, because it definitely goes in with everything else that the EFCA stands for. So it shows how there's always room for us to show where we're growing and everything. So
yeah,
I'm thankful because I get a join now. So
yeah,
tip my cards a little bit.
We can have that discussion.
So. Yeah, oh, we'll get there eventually. I'm sure.
Maybe a couple of years from now.
Yeah,
so much stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
Why do you think it is important to look at our heritage?
We learn from our looking at history. Don't repeat the same mistakes that you made the first time. Things that worked and things that didn't work. And, you know, one of the ways that God does reveal himself is through history. And so I think that's important to take a look at church history, especially. And see, you know, how it kind of developed down through the centuries. And it's rather fascinating. I didn't take any church history courses until seminary. And then I really got into it for a while, just learning the differences.
Cool. Do you think, too, that it also points to God's faithfulness? Right, like we read Joshua 4, where they take these stones and place them to ask their kids, whenever the kids ask, why are these stones here? Well, to show that God was faithful to his promise and his covenant to bring us into the land.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of good teaching, especially kids, you know, sitting down with them and explaining those things to them, why it's important.
Awesome. Well,
that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I think that's great. Thanks so much for coming.
Yeah,
and, we appreciate talking to you for sure.
Thank you for
indulging us.
Inviting. I enjoy it. I enjoy having the conversation with you. We can do it again sometime.
Definitely.
Cool. All right.
Definitely.
All right, everyone. Well, this has been the Fellowship Church podcast, and hope you enjoy. See you later.